Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95 BFM.
Thousands of migrants from the Middle East are still stranded at the border between Poland and Belarus after the EU is refusing to let them enter its borders. Many of these migrants are Iraqi Kurds, with many saying they went to Belarus after buying packages from travel agencies, including a tourist visa, and travelled to the EU borders with Lithuania and Poland. And several media reports have already said these travel agencies have close connections with Belarusian authorities. This comes in the wake of the EU placing sanctions on Belarusian officials in August last year after they cracked down on mass protests, as well as May this year after Minsk forced a Ryanair flight to land just to arrest a dissident, Roman Protasevich. Belarus's President Alexander Lukashenko has threatened earlier this year that he would flood Western Europe with migrants and drugs if the EU sanctions were not lifted. He also warned that Belarus would shut down gas supply to Europe if the sanctions were not lifted this time. The European Union has accused President Lukashenko of using gangster methods to orchestrate the influx of migrants for political purposes and has recently imposed more sanctions. Meanwhile, Polish President Andrzej Duda has accused Lukashenko's government of attacking the border and the EU in an unparalleled manner. On this, I spoke to Professor Renata Miankowska-Nokiana from the University of Warsaw. She said while there is consensus between the Polish government and the opposition to condemn Belarus, the difference is on whether to accept the migrants into Poland.
So recent developments mainly focus, I would say, on two things. So one of them is the actual situation there, and it seems that there are certain attacks, at least this is how it's presented by the Polish government, and also to some extent confirmed by Belarusian version. It's just that, of course, Belarusians present it in a different, from a different point of view, that there are about 100 of migrants on the Polish border near the center Kuśnica, and that they attack the Polish, so they were supposedly attacking the Polish guards and policemen, and about 100 people, at least this is how it's described, with stones, with at least this is how it's presented, with some gas, and it seems that they are quite angry and aggressive. This is again how it's presented. And the Polish, they use water mainly, but they are preferred even to use guns. Hmm. So this is the actual situation. Of course, it's difficult to say what the reality there is, as the journalists are not allowed to observe all this, independent journalists. So we have just, let's say, the information from Belarusian propaganda and sources, which state that the poor migrants try to get to Poland and the cruel Polish policemen try to stop them. Well, the Polish side presents it all as the poor Polish policemen have to defend themselves from Lukashenko, who is using the migrants as tools. So these are the actual events. While speaking about the political aspect, today in the Polish Sejm, there was a legal act adopted of solidarity with of the parliament with the government's steps regarding the crisis on Belarusian border, Polish-Belarusian border. So, of course, it was mainly adopted by Law and Justice MPs, plus it was supported also by some representatives of the opposition, mainly from the Polish Peasants Party. So there was no consensus. It was not, you know, like really the whole opposition and the pro-governmental option. that would support this point of view. It's that some representatives of the Polish opposition, they tried to propose their own legal act, which would be more in favor of migrants and which would more focus on also humanitarian aspects of this crisis. But of course, this was not even taken to the discussion in the parliament. So these were two things which happened today.
Right.
But of course, what happens also in the background, which is mainly, which is also interesting, the Polish government also doesn't really actively search for support from the European Union, like from Frontex, for example. Furthermore, the Polish Minister of Defense stated that this crisis might last for weeks, maybe months, hopefully not years. So this is, you know, like really, it's it seems that they really perceive this crisis as lasting as long as Putin wants it. Hmm. Some minor aspects, like as far as I remember, also there were discussions about this Article 4 of the North Atlantic Treaty, that there were consultations with Lithuania and Latvia on invoking it. So yeah, things are going on, but is it really all there to really solve the problem? I wouldn't be so sure. Actually, the Polish government still thinks probably that it may bring the political benefits to maintain, at least for some time, this situation.
But what about the EU's presence in Poland, though? Because recently we have heard murmurs of Andrzej Duda wanting to pull Poland out of the European Union. Do you think that will make that will change things around that front?
Look, I think, of course, that this humanitarian crisis will influence, it has already shown to influence the situation in a sense that the European states at least showed solidarity with Poland, despite the fact that Poland was, to be frank, a sort of not really solidary with the other European states, speaking about the rule of law, and there was anti-German, anti-European rhetoric. Both on the side of Andrzej Duda and on the side of the Polish government and pro-governmental environment. However, or nevertheless, actually, the European Union really showed solidarity with Poland and Lithuania. And this shows that probably the European Union really doesn't want an open conflict and is able to forgive Poland a lot. But if it means that it will forgive also the problems with rule of law and not compliance with the Court of Justice rulings, that's a different story. Probably it will not be the case. So until the European Commission hasn't accepted and accepted the Polish this fund, which is implementing, or the Polish part of this Next Generation EU, I think then still the European Union has this option of using it as a let's say, argument to request for sticking to the rule of law and sticking also and complying with the rulings of the Court of Justice. So there will be a little bit milder perception of Poland. And there will be probably not really an open conflict. But take into consideration also the fact that Poland is still quite anti-German and that some steps that Angela Merkel, for example, takes are perceived in Poland and presented by the Polish government as betraying, as, you know, going too far, as pro-Russian rather than, you know, really solving the problem. So it is not so easy.
Well, this is probably the position of the Polish government. But what about the opposition? I mean, the head of the, well, one of the main opposition figureheads is Donald Tusk. He used to head the European Council.
Indeed, you are right that as the opposition, he is a little bit lost. So, you know, on the one hand, he understands that the state integrity and defense of the borders is extremely meaningful. Furthermore, when he was the president of the European Council also, he dealt with the migration crisis, and it didn't work out, actually, to elaborate on some solution to this problem. And it was to be foreseen that the problem would arise, and it has actually arisen. But the problem is that now Donald Tusk cannot be fully solidarity with the government, despite the fact that he knows that the problem is serious, because of all these humanitarian aspects. And his voters, they expect, and the Polish opposition voters, they expect that this will be taken into consideration. I mean, this humanitarian aspect. And here, our government failed. So there was Geneva Convention, let's say, totally omitted by the Polish government. There was the ruling of the European Court of Human Rights that Polish side should support, feed and heat and so on, those people on the border, which the Polish government didn't actually do. There were pushbacks. So speaking about that, I think that the opposition tries to use this aspect, so this humanitarian aspect. And, of course, the opposition calls for European involvement and the NATO involvement in all that. But the situation is not so easy because, as you can see, a part of the opposition today supported the government, some representatives of this Polish Peasant Party. And I would like to remind you that the Polish Peasant Party was together with Civic Coalition in the government of Donald Tusk. So you can see it can be perceived as a betrayal, a betrayal of the opposition. So Polish opposition is divided. It's not equivocally against what the government actually has been doing for the last few weeks. And this also makes the situation more complicated, because if it was maybe a little bit more united in a specific perception of this situation, maybe this would be different. On the other hand, you know, our president, he has a tool, National Security Council, this is how it's called, and it collects representatives of all political parties which are meaningful, which are in the parliament, and plus the main politicians from the state. It should have been actually already collected and organized by our president. He didn't do it, which means he's not interested in any talks with representatives of the opposition. So the opposition is also sort of trying to find its place here in this whole game. At the moment, it's trying to, let's say, maintain this narrative that, yes, we should defend the borders, but we shouldn't also forget about humanitarian aspects of all that. And Poland should definitely try to ask for support from our allies, both from the European Union and NATO. And this is what our government, I would say, does not really efficiently organize. At least it hasn't organized it until now yet.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.